We greet you this morning in the name of Christ our Lord, and we acknowledge him as the great head of the Christian church, and we count it a privilege to gather with his people. Certainly thank Dr. Mola for this opportunity to share the word of God. I highly respect him and count it a privilege to serve here under his leadership. Although I'm never too sure of what he thinks about me. The last time I preached in chapel, I followed D.A. Carson. And this week, I get to follow a professor of preaching. So I never know how Dr. Mola feels about me based upon the slots where he inserts me. I do want to take a chance to invite you to the Kentucky Baptist Convention Pastors Conference. It'll be the 15th of November. I think that's the second Monday. We just want to encourage ourselves in the Word of God, and we'll have brothers opening his Word, Floyd Paris and Adam Dooley, our new president of our executive committee, Dr. Frank Page, Dr. Danny Aiken from Southeastern Seminary, Dr. Johnny Hunt, former president of the Southern Baptist Convention, and Alistair Begg of Truth for Life Parkside Church there in Cleveland. And Dr. Begg will be with us here at the campus the rest of that week, but certainly want to invite you to Emmanuel Baptist Church in Lexington to share in that day, that afternoon and evening of pastors' conference preaching. I want to invite you to turn to the 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, and I want us to think about God's open call. God's open call. I think often about what provoked John Piper to write a few years ago, "Brothers, we are not professionals." I think about the professionalization of the Christian ministry. I think about conversations that I have with students and other people who are preachers of the gospel about how they want to serve the Lord, where they'll serve the Lord, the conditions under which they'd like to serve the Lord, and the things they hope will come about as a result of their service to the Lord. And I often find that we have a whole lot of conditions and contingencies in our willingness to serve and honor the Lord with our lives. And I think if we look in the scripture, I'm going to take one picture here, but if we look through the entirety of scripture, the servant of the Lord is called to serve God whenever, however, God so chooses. The servant of the Lord is called to serve God for God's ends and for God's purposes, whether we find those to be agreeable to us or not. And so I want us to examine God's open call. And as we examine the Word of God, I want you as seminarians to think about, am I open to doing whatever God calls me to do, regardless of any contingencies that I might set up in my mind? And so the Word of God says in the 37th chapter of Ezekiel, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, they were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, Thou knowest. And hopefully, since we're in a seminary setting, you know the rest of the story. But I want to just focus and concentrate a little bit at the beginning of the story, at the beginning, at the point of Ezekiel's call. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out into the spirit, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down. The prophet is led by God to what the word of God will describe as a dry place, an unappealing place, a desperate place, even a dead place. If you've had me for church history, you know every semester I beg for the fourth man. Say, I want you to examine yourselves and see if you might be the fourth man. We have the first man. The first man is the pastor that will go to a church that everybody wants to go to. A church that believes in the authority of God's word. A church that believes in being radical disciples of Jesus Christ. A church that believes in tithing. A church that has a nice building. It's not hard to find the first man. We have the second man, the one who will go to unreached people groups, and share the gospel of Jesus Christ, the one who will patiently learn the language, learn the context of those people, and share the gospel of Jesus Christ, the one who even sometimes has the patience to meticulously translate the scripture into a language for people who've never before been able to hold and have and read the word of God. And thank the Lord, we have that second man, that woman here at the seminary. We have the third man, the church planter, the one who wants to go into a place and dig it out, start from scratch, start with a core group. And I had the joy of doing that. And one needs a certain type of disposition and attitude and calling to do that. It's very nice to walk into a chapel like this, and you need a different kind of attitude to meet people every Sunday morning, 2 or 3 hours before the service, and unpack music instruments and speakers and all that, and to just dig out a church. But I often challenge students to see whether or not God might be calling you to be the fourth man. The fourth man is not the one who wants to go to the church everybody wants to go to. The fourth man is not the missionary going to an unreached people group in an international location. The fourth man is not a church planter. The fourth man is someone who is called to go to a dry church, a dry place. For Ezekiel here will go to a valley of dry bones, which will picture the house of Israel, which will picture the people of God that are in a place of captivity, that are in a place of rebellion, that have been chastised because of their idolatry. He will go to a people who, in their relationship with God, they have the name of being God's people, but they are under chastisement, and it's just basically a dry, dead, dying place. And I don't meet a lot of seminary students who say, yes, here I am. I want to go to that place. I want to go to the dry place. But there is a calling of God to go to the dry place. It takes the anointing of God, the calling of God, the assurance that you are doing what God has called you to do, but also takes some different kind of characteristics. Takes a spiritual maturity, a spiritual patience. I think some folks are called to be church planters. I think some people want to plant churches because you're too impatient and too immature to go into a dry situation. You want things changed immediately. You want things like you think they should be from day one. But there's someone out there that God is perhaps calling to go to a dry place. God is calling you and setting you down and leading you to a valley that is full of dry bones. And so he says in the first verse, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord. We need to back up from this American Christianity understanding that when God is leading us and when God is guiding us, it always leads us to good places and comfortable places and successful places and places that people would look at and say, oh yeah, the Lord is blessing him. And so God is leading him to the valley of dry bones. So God is leading him to a place that doesn't look prosperous. I mean, I have to admit being guilty of sometimes riding around and riding on streets that are not too far from this seminary and saying, who in the world would want to go pastor that church? Ezekiel would. The one who's being called to a dry place. And so he says further, he sat me down in a valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by round about. And behold, they were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. And so in the text, we see Ezekiel being led by God. It says in the second verse, God calls me to pass by and observe them. We see Ezekiel being led by God to observe the who and the what and the where of where God was sending him. And to observe the who and the what and the where of where God is sending you, to do that, one has to stop looking at yourself, stop gazing at your own belly button, and kind of look up at the mission field. One has to get their eyes off of themselves to see where God is calling, to see the people, to see the valley, to see what is out there. What is God laying before me? It is hard for me to see what God is laying before me when I'm always consumed with looking at myself. Sometimes I have conversations and guys will talk about where they're from and what they're used to, and wonder how I can live in that setting. Wonder what my wife would think about that setting. I wonder how I can live in that area. I wonder what the area is like. And I have these conversations, and I'm sitting there, and I'm sitting in my chair in my office. I do appreciate a desk. I really like a desk, because when you have a desk, you know, people can't see you just like sitting there shaking your leg like, now when is he going to start talking about the call of God on his life to go to these people and stop talking about the logistics of can I live there? When is he going to get to the burden of what God is saying, leading him to do, and stop talking about the financial arrangements or the housing arrangements or how many bedrooms in the parsonage? Your kid's too good to share a bedroom? God, in the second verse, has Ezekiel looking at the valley, not looking at himself. You all that are single, when you propose to a young lady, if she hadn't figured it out, tell her you're a preacher. Tell her you're open to the call of God. Tell her you can't guarantee the future. I gave my wife according to the spectators, I gave my wife the foulest proposal. I love you. I love the Lord. I'm called to be a preacher. At that time, I was an outreach minister at a church living in a mission house. I said, I don't know what I'm going to ever have. I'm not even going to tell you that I even care about what I'll ever have. I'll always have people irritated with me because I'm going to preach what God says preach. And I want to take care of you. I'll never let you starve. I mean, I gave the most lowball proposal. And I wanted to give her a way out because I didn't want her to marry me unless she 100% knew she was marrying a preacher who was open to God's open call. So I wanted, so you brothers that are single, don't give a call that doesn't identify, don't give a proposal that doesn't identify you as a preacher who's open to the call of God. If her father was a dentist or a doctor or a lawyer, and she's used to a dentist or a doctor or a lawyer life, you better be honest in your proposal. Until I'm open to going wherever God sends me. He might not send me to a doctor, lawyer, congregation. Be open. Get your eyes off of you. Ezekiel's looking at the valley, and he's being caused to look at the valley by the Lord. There's another episode in Ezekiel where Ezekiel goes and he's sent by the Lord, and he first, before he even begins to prophesy, he just sits and he looks at the people. I'm so tired, and I haven't even been here as long as many of these other faculty members. I'm so tired of talking to students who don't even look at the people. I'm so tired of talking to students who think about the call in the context of them. And I, this is such a lame line. Well, you know, I got to provide for my family. God knows that. God knows that. God knows you're married if you're married. He knows you have kids if you have kids. God knows that. But the Word of God doesn't say you'll necessarily be able to provide for your family according to the standards of American middle class living. Get your eyes off yourself. See that valley of bones and ask yourself, is God calling me to that dry place in order that His glory might be proclaimed among the people? Observe the who, the what, and the where of God's sending, and let's get our eyes off of our own self-interest. And thirdly, I want you to look in the third verse. This wonderful exchange. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. There's a test there of contingency and obedience. Son of man, can these bones live? You know that, Lord. And so Ezekiel has been sent by God. Ezekiel has observed the surroundings of the who and the what and the where. And he's done those things in obedience. He's done those things under the leading of God's Holy Spirit. And he still does not yet know. And he realizes that he will go into the situation not knowing the results that God will bring forth. What's going to happen? Only you know, Lord. Well, isn't your going contingent upon whether or not the things that you want to happen will happen in that place of ministry? No. But you wouldn't know that from the conversations I have with people. Wonder what's the likelihood that this church can do this, or the likelihood that this church can do this. How many of us are open to go into a situation where we're led by the Spirit of God and we have no idea what's going to happen? No idea. It could go either way. We could labor for years and see great fruit and see a dead church revived. We could be able to go up with the deacons and take a mop and get the dust out of the baptism pool. Or we could labor there and labor there and not see much fruit. Are you open to that? Earlier in the passage, earlier in the text, earlier in the book, I should say, Ezekiel was given a call and an indication by God that he should be open to whatever the results were. For example, if you look in the calling of Ezekiel earlier in the book, in the second chapter, he says, "Son of man, stand up on your feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit of the Lord entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet, that I heard him speak unto me. And he said, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even until this very day. For they are impotent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that a prophet has been among them." Early in the second chapter, in the calling of Ezekiel, God established with Ezekiel that the results of your ministry assignment are left with me. The results of your ministry assignment are not the basis for you taking your ministry assignment. The results of your ministry assignment are with the sovereignty of God, but we go to the places God sends us totally in obedience to the call of God. Maybe we need to go back to the Bible and examine our doctrine of calling. Maybe we need to sit down and think about, what do I mean when I say I'm called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? What do I mean when I say I'm called to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do I have some boxes around what that means? Or am I open to however the Lord leads? What is your doctrine of calling? Do you like preaching? Or has God called you and given you a burden to preach the gospel? If you just preach because you like preaching, you might stop, because it won't always be popular. It's not popular right now in a lot of places. That's one reason I love being at this seminary, is because the leadership will proclaim the word regardless. I can't follow a soft man, a wimp. I can't follow a wimp. But the leadership of this seminary will proclaim the word of God regardless of the consequences. What is your understanding of the doctrine of calling? Are you in ministry because you like it? Are you in ministry because it makes you feel good? It won't always make you feel good. Are you in ministry because your daddy was in it or your granddaddy was in it? Or any reason other than I've been called by God will not give you the endurance to endure the variety of places that the Lord may choose to lead you. Do you feel like I can't breathe if I'm not obedient to what God calls me to do, regardless of what everyone else around me is doing. Do you feel like I can't find any peace for my soul unless I'm obedient to what God calls me to do? Or is it just communion? Are you here? Are you looking for ministry opportunities because somebody told you, oh, you'll probably be a minister? We have some of the most well-meaning people in churches sometimes that say some of the dumbest things. Oh, young man, you look like a preacher. And I mean, you can't really say this, but you want to say, what does a preacher look like? No, we need to examine our doctrine of calling, because there's no way that we will be obedient when God leads us to dry places. There's no way we will get our eyes off of ourselves and observe the who, what, and the where of where God is leading us. And there's no way we will pass the contingency test unless we are called by God. Examine the scripture. Who do you know who received an easy call? Examine what we consider to be faithful ministries. Who do you know who's had an easy journey? We celebrate people. And the preachers we celebrate, and I won't name names, but we know those names that y'all wear out. All those people can tell you about times in their ministries at their church where they had to know that God had called them, even in the midst of challenging situations. And when people aren't sent by the Lord, there's no telling what will happen. Sometimes I talk to people and they say, well, brother, this is a bad situation, and I'm just kind of frustrated, and I feel like I should quit. And the man that licensed ordained me, he was kind of blunt, and I guess I picked up some of his bluntness. I'm not saying it's right, but I just picked it up. I said, good, quit. Because if you can quit, you weren't sent in the first place. So good, quit. It's better for those preachers, people to have no preacher than you. Yeah, quit. Because if God sends you, then whatever the results are, whatever's going on, you will be firm in the resolution that I am here led by the Spirit of God. I am here for the glory of God, and the results belong to God, and I'm not in charge of those things. I just want to govern my body and discipline myself that I might be obedient to where God has called me to serve. I asked a guy the other day, I mean, he said, the people need to be taught and the people need to be loved, but I just don't know if they can support a pastor. I was like, I mean, does going to seminary entitle you to definitely be in full-time ministry? Yes, no, there's no way I can be a graduate of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and pastor this church and then have to, like, work at the factory with everybody else. There's no way I can graduate from seminary and I have to work a job and I need to take care of my family. And I like having those conversations at the seminary because I'm under leadership at the seminary. And I don't want to get on Dr. Moore, Dr. Moeller's bad side, and so I will labor with that student and try to turn his vision to where it needs to be. Now, if I had that conversation with a man in my church who's called to, says he's called to ministry, and like, I'm not under leadership in my church like that. I mean, I have accountability with brothers, but I said, man, get out of here. You ain't called to preach. Get out of my face. But The seminary and the local church are two different places. Two different places. Do you see that? Yeah, if we can quit, we're not called by God. If we can weasel out, we're not called by God. Isn't it amazing how so many churches, when stuff gets tense, when we're at the turning point of reformation, when we're at the tense point of contending for biblical authority, when there used to be such a heritage of not honoring the Word of God, when we're at what looks like a turning point and things are getting tight and you're in the midst of conflict and yeah, there's some dropping off and all those kind of things. Isn't it amazing that at that time, God calls so many guys to go to another church? Isn't it amazing when the fire gets hot, that's the exact time God calls you to go somewhere else? Isn't it amazing? God always calls us to go to a better building and a better budget. I thought God was creative. God only calls one way. He calls you to better buildings and better budgets, right? Are we open to knowing I'm called by God, I'm trusting God for the results, and I'm going to sit here planted in the will of God, being obedient to what God has called me to do? I don't know if these bones are going to get up, but God knows the bones, whether they're going to get up or not. But I do know that God has told me to come down here to this valley of dry bones. So, yeah. Get hungry when Dr. Lawless tells you about unreached people groups and the International Mission Board provides us with wonderful resources for praying and considering. Get hungry. Get hungry when the Great Commission Task Force and our North American Mission Board, now with new revived leadership, I guess I shouldn't have looked so happy, but I guess it's out there now. With new revived leadership begins to point us towards the Northeast and point us towards the Northwest and point us towards other areas of America where churches of the Lord Jesus Christ need to be planted. Get hungry about that. But also get hungry when you see Southern Baptist churches that have been around for a long time and their baptism rates and their membership is declining and stagnant. Get hungry about that too. Is there a fourth man out here who can go to the valley of dry bones just because the Lord sent you and you're being led by the Spirit? Get hungry about that too. Yeah. That's perhaps not as... That doesn't make for good movies. That's not like going down in the Amazon with Dr. York and putting on your hat and looking like Crocodile Dundee and all that. That's not. Yeah, that's not as cool as going up in New York and shaving off your hair and having a goatee and sitting up with Tim Keller in Starbucks. It's not cool like that. No, it's walking in and sitting in the pulpit and they singing songs like they at a funeral. And they have 40 minutes of singing and they expect you to preach for 20 minutes. And Miss Maybell has to make 10 minutes worth of announcements. And they have like 40% of their ministries. You can't figure out why they exist and what they're supposed to do. And they think a missionary is a woman that comes to church on Saturday morning to drink coffee with other ladies in the church. And you just sit there like, my Lord. Can any life be in this place? Well, you better comfort yourself saying, you know what? Only you know that, Lord. But I do know one thing about this valley of dry bones. You sent me here. I have the comfort of being led by your Spirit. And I have the mission to proclaim your word. And that's what I'm going to do. Do you sense any kind of contingency in your willingness to serve? Do you sense any hesitancy to say, have thine own way, Lord? Have thine own way. Do you sense any hesitancy to say, Jesus, Savior, pilot me, or all the way my Savior leads me? And I don't mean just singing the words of the songs. I mean having those things as resolutions of your calling. Anytime you need reassuring, please remember the ministry of our Lord and Savior. Anytime you need reassuring, please remember that you don't sense contingency in the ministry of Jesus Christ. He came into the world to seek the lost. He came into the world to do the will of his Father, and often reminded his clueless disciples and those around him, my meat, my substance is to do the will of my Father who sent me. He proclaimed the word with no contingency, whether those were offended or not. One time the disciples said, Lord, do you know those people were offended? In my modern translation, he said, and? There was no contingency in him demonstrating God's power. And there was no contingency in him dying on the cross for our sins. And is that an easy calling to obey and honor God and to serve God in dry situations and in challenging places? No, it's not an easy calling. All you have to do is remember the words of Matthew 26. And he agonized in the Garden of Gethsemane and said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. So I want to ask you this morning, seminary student, preacher of the gospel, are you open to God's open call? I wouldn't even hesitate to say that the majority or many of our churches are declining. And if they're churches of the Lord God, I believe that he's going to be sending men to pastor those churches. And I don't think it'll be long. Go to the Southern Baptist Convention. You want prospects of usability in the kingdom? Go to the Southern Baptist Convention. It's a lot of old guys walking around there. They'll be retiring. In the declining, plateauing churches that they pastor, will be looking for pastors. And maybe in the goodness of our sovereign God, somebody on the pastoral search committee might be open to the leading of the Lord and will even be willing to look at a resume from someone from Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. And might call you. And because they've been declining, they might not be able to give you the best package. And because they've been declining, they might have a parsonage, but it just might. I mean, they might have wood paneling in the living room. But can I say, here am I, Lord. Send me. I thank God for our continuity pastors who go to our good churches. I thank God for our international missionaries. I thank God for our truly called church planters. But brothers and sisters, we got to pray God send that fourth man. We've got to pray God send that fourth man. When he calls, will you be open to go to that valley of dry bones? And when God says, are they going to live? Can you be obedient and just say, Lord, only you know, but I'm obedient to your call. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that the misconceptions we have about faithfulness to you would be dispelled as we look into your word. I pray that the American extras that we added to the calling of God will be purged by your word. Thank you for everyone in this place who's called to serve you. And may they be totally open to the who, the what, and the where of where you're sending them and leading them by your Spirit. That Jesus Christ may be proclaimed even in dry places. We pray these things to your glory. Amen.